Let's all stand up and read the scripture portion as the sermon slides are passed along. We are continuing our series on fear of God. And I just cannot say this lightly, as I've been reminded from the Word of God. God has been teaching me wonderful lessons, and I'm sure each one of us also take this very seriously about the fear of God. Don't take this lightly. The presence of the Lord enables us to be able to fear Him. Not only should we remember that God is a God of love, also we should remember that God is a consuming fire as well. So we need to be able to have the fear of God in our lives. That would really prepare us to be watchful of our thoughts, watchful of our actions, watchful of our behaviors when we think of the fear of the Lord. The focus of this particular series is based on Psalm chapter 34 and verse 11. Come, listen to me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Come, listen to me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord, from Psalm chapter 34 and verse 11. This is the third sermon of the series that we have begun a few weeks ago. For today's portion, let us read from the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Though we are going to focus our attention on the first book of the Bible, the reference is given in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. All together, please, that is it projected. Please read aloud. All together, please. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of the household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. May the Lord bless the reading of this word. Please be seated. And take your pencil or pen and fill in the blanks where it says, divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, not just godly fear, moved with godly fear. Please note it down. It's very important for us to be able to not only read God's word, see God's word, but also write God's word. Many times we are not used to using our pens and pencils anymore because of the keyboards that we have and the fingers that we use on our smartphones, that we are unable to write clearly enough. So let us take this opportunity, at least now, to write down, moved with godly fear. I hope the microphones are ready for others to read in other languages as well. Shall we read this now in the Hindi language? Those of us who can understand the Hindi language, please join with me in reading this in the Hindi language altogether. विश्वास ही से नूह ने उन बातों के विषय में जो उस समय दिखाई न पड़ती थी चेतावनी पाकर भक्त के साथ अपने घराने के बचाव के लिए जहाज बनाया और उसके द्वारा उसने संसार को दोषी ठहराया और उस धर्म का वारिस हुआ जो विश्वास से होता है. Help us to read other languages. Telugu, please. Vishwasamnu batti novahu adi varaku chudani sangatulanu gurchi devuni cheta hecherimpabadi bhayabhaktulu kalavadai tana inti vari rakshana koraku oka oda siddham chesenu anduvalana atadu lokamu meeda nera sthapana chesi vishwasamnu batti kaligina neetiki varasudayenu. In Urdu, please.
ईमान ही के सबब से नूह ने उन चीजों की बाबत जो उस वक्त तक नजर ना आती थी हदायत पाकर खुदा के खौफ से अपने घराने के बचाव के लिए किश्ती बनाई जिसमें उसने दुनिया को मुजरम ठहराया और उस रास्तबाजी का वारिस हुआ जो ईमान से है.
इन तमिल लैंग्वेज
விசுவாசத்தினாலே நோவா தற்காலத்திலே காணாதவைகளை குறித்து தேவ எச்சரிப்பு பெற்று பயபக்தி உள்ளவனாகி தன் குடும்பத்தை ரட்சிப்பதற்கு பேழையை உண்டு பண்ணினான். அதனாலே அவன் உலகம் ஆக்கினைக்குள்ளானதென்று தீர்த்து விசுவாசத்தினால் உண்டாகும் நீதிக்கு சுதந்திரவாளியானான்.
Wonderful. Whichever language, how many other languages we understand, there are a couple more languages. I keep telling that we should start reading in other languages also, where we have representation in the Kannada language as well. Hopefully, we'll have that, God willing, soon enough. So we thank the Lord for enabling us to understand the importance of the fear of God. And today, the sermon that is titled is Moved with Godly Fear. If you have the New King James Version, that is the specific way in which it is written. In some other translations, like New American Standard or English Standard Versions, it uses the word reverence or reverential fear. The word fear, as we have been reminding each other, the mention of this word fear in the Bible, especially in terms of our relationship with God, has two specific meanings. One is fear, which includes dread or terror. That is one definition of the word fear. And the other one is reverence or awe, to be able to look at him and to have the reverence towards him, to know that I want to draw nearer to him because he's a God who needs to be reverenced. I want to come closer to him. While I want to be afraid of the fact that God doesn't like certain things that I've been doing or the kind of things that are happening in this world, that is reminding ourselves that God is a God of dread or terror, but also he is a God who is a God who is needs to be revered or to be shown awe towards him. Our God is an awesome God, the God who enables us to come closer to him. That is why in some of the languages, instead of being able to define it one way, it always uses two words. In some of the languages, for the word fear, it is translated bhaya, bhakti, both. Bhayam, bhakti. In other words, to be able to have the fear of God in terms of dread or terror, and also to be able to come towards him with a devoted heart towards him because he needs to be revered. We have been meditating upon this importance of it. The first sermon focused upon no fear of God. There are people who do not have the fear of God. There is no one righteous, none righteous, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 3. And in that particular portion, he says there is no fear of God before their eyes. And that is what caused the sinful nature that has enabled people unable to really experience who this God is, that God is a God who needs to be feared. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And the woman who fears the Lord, he needs to be praised. That's what we meditated last week from the book of Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30. The woman who fears the Lord shall be praised because of the way in which her life has been, in terms of her worth, in terms of her words, and also in terms of her works as well, words and works. Today, we are going to meditate upon one of the characters in the scriptures early enough where it is talked about in the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Book of Genesis, chapter 6. While you keep Hebrews chapter 11 as a bookmark, you can put your finger there or put a book a bookmark there. And let's go to Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, by then, there were quite a number of years that have occurred since the creation of mankind. But God saw that there was a lot of evil that existed on the earth. In verse 5, Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Every intent of the thoughts of his heart, the things that we are thinking, forget about talking, even the thoughts that come into our heart are filled with evil continually. That is what God saw. God sees our thoughts, my dear. People may not see what you're thinking right now, but God is seeing each of our thoughts. What have you been thinking? Over the past week, what were you thinking? What kind of thoughts were coming into your mind? God sees them. God sees them to the extent of knowing the fact that he cannot tackle evil that exists. It was evil continually. And then he said in verse 7, I will blot out the man whom I have created from the face of the earth. And verse 8, now God wanted to make sure that there is judgment for the sin that exists in the mankind. But in verse 8, it says, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Some of the English translations uses the word Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. First time it's mentioned about the word grace in the eyes of the Lord. God was seeing the with his eyes the intents and the thoughts of mankind. But at the same time, with the same eyes of God, he was looking at a man by name Noah. He was looking at the mankind because of the evil, but at the same time, his eyes go to and fro to see if there is anyone who is righteous in his sight. And God found Noah. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now we are going to study a little about the life of Noah. The word Noah means comfort. When people were going through so much of distress, as it is recorded in Genesis chapter 5, when Noah was born, they felt that they would be able to get the comfort in the eyes of the Lord. Enoch walked with God, and then Methuselah, who lived the longest, God showed his patience to be able to show forth. And after Methuselah died, that is when this occurrence of the flood happened in the time of Noah. Verse 9, these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Three different things that we can see. That is a study by itself. Noah was a righteous man. In what way? How did he become a righteous man? We will look at it shortly. Was he righteous because of his self-righteousness? Or how did he become an heir of righteousness? We'll look at that. And he was blameless in his time. It doesn't say he was sinless, but he was blameless. Meaning when he fell down, he came back up into the presence of God and continued in his walk with God. And that is why in verse 9 it says, Noah walked with God. When there was so much of evil that is going on, there's one thing that we can learn about Noah in terms of moved with godly fear. Knowing that God cannot tackle evil, the first thing that you can note down, please note it down in your sermon notes, Noah walked with God. Walked with God. Note it down. He walked with God. What does walking with God mean? Is it that physically, trying to find someone with whom you can walk along? That is a kind of allegorical understanding that I can get. Walking with God, meaning to be able to be on the same path as God is. God wants us to go along. It's not that God is going this way, I'm going another way. Walking with someone, meaning walking with in the direction that God is going along with. And he was walking with God. A few generations before, there was another man who walked with God and he was not found. And that man's name was Enoch. Noah did not see Enoch because Enoch lived only 365 years. He had sons and daughters, and later came Methuselah, who lived the longest. And I'm sure Noah was born during the time that Methuselah was alive. Because after Methuselah died, that was when we see the flood story that begins. Methuselah might have told about Enoch as well in terms of the way in which Enoch walked with God. That Noah walked with God. I love this statement. Walking with God. Do you walk with God? Maybe you might say, I'm a believer in Lord Jesus Christ. But my question is, do you walk with God? Are you moved with godly fear in your lives? In such a manner that I cannot go away from God. I want to walk with God. I want to go in the direction that God wants me to take. I want to walk with God in spite of the evil that is happening. I want to walk with God. If I'm going here and there, when God reminds me of it, I want to come back and go in the path that God wants me to walk. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. What does it mean? We walk by faith. Not by sight, not because we are seeing something that we are walking, but we are walking with God by faith. And that is what we notice here. Put your finger here in Genesis chapter 6 and let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. What does it say there? It says, by faith. I love that small phrase. By faith, Noah. By faith, Noah. That itself gives so much of understanding as to what kind of a person Noah was. When the Bible says Noah walked with God, Noah walked with God by faith, not by sight, not by the things that he wants to see first. Let me see that and then I will walk with you. No. He walked by faith. The definition of faith is right there in the same chapter of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's either by faith or by sight. It's either by faith or by sight. And Noah walked with God by faith. So I'm asking you this question. I'm not asking you when you were born again. If you are not born again, maybe the time has come for you to be able to really know who this God is and have faith. But is that what you are relying upon in terms of saving faith alone? How about the sustaining faith on a daily basis? Are you just relying on the faith that has enabled you to be saved? Or are you walking with God? Or are you coming in the presence of God or thinking about God only on Sundays when we gather together? Do you think about God on a daily basis? First thing in the morning when you wake up, do you walk with God? At the end of the day, have you examined, you and I, including myself, do we examine ourselves to see, have I walked with God today? Have I walked with God today by faith? And that is what you and I need to understand here. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse, chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah. And then the second portion, being warned by God. Divinely warned, it says in some of the translations. Being warned by God. As you keep walking by faith, you will know what are the things you need to be careful about. When you come across a crossroads in your life, which way should I go? Lord, I'm walking with you. Now suddenly a Y junction has come. Which way should I go? Do I go to the left or to the right? And if I'm trying to go to the left and God is saying that let's go to the right, what would God say? Watch out. The one that you're taking on the left is not the right one. Being warned by God. Note it down, the second one. Being warned by God. God is warning. When you walk with God, when you fully obey God, you will be warned by God when the directions that you're taking are not appropriate. God warns us. Being warned by God, very important. Because this is where many times we think, oh, God is a God of love. He will take care. God is a God of grace. He will forgive me. No matter what direction I'm going, I will ask for forgiveness from God and I'll be forgiven. So I will take grace as a license to sin. Some people tend to not recognize God, that God is a God of terror and dread as well. I do not want to even go to sin and fall into sin and be a person who is always not a victorious person, but a defeated person. We do not want to be like that. We need to take the warnings from God. God gave warning to Adam and Eve. The day that you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. God gave that warning. But Adam and Eve did not obey. But here we see when the warning of God was given, what does it say in verse 7? Being warned by God about things not yet seen. That is what faith is. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. So the things that are not seen, God is giving warning about. He says, if you go this direction, you will. There is going to be destruction. Oh God, I haven't seen destruction. Can I see the destruction? No. Even without seeing certain things, you believe in a God who gives that warning. Not only is he a God who tells, believe in me, I will give you eternal life. But let me tell you, if you don't believe in me, you will die. You will go through destruction in hell. That is what the warning of God is. And Noah heard the warning of God. He walked with God. Noah was warned by God. And then we see back to Hebrews chapter 7, 11, verse 7. In reverence, in godly fear, moved with fear, godly fear. He was moved. As he was walking with God, God shared with him that the world is going towards destruction. I'm going to judge the world with flood. He gave the warning. And as he gave the warning, Noah didn't say, good Lord, do it. This is the right way to be able to judge the people. Instead, what did he do the moment he heard the warning of God? It says he was moved with godly fear. That's what our response should be when we hear word of God. Word of God that comforts us. Word of God that exhorts us. Word of God that corrects us. The word of God that tells us that you are not doing the right thing. Word of God that encourages us to say, continue to do the right thing. As you are hearing the word of God, take this as God's word, my dear. It's not my word that I'm sharing. It is the word of God I'm trying to explain and share with each one of us. Having understood that God is a God of judgment, having warned by God, having been given instructions by God, say, go, prepare yourself an ark made of the gopher wood. A lot of people wonder, what is this gopher wood? A lot of ways in which people try to say it could be cypress wood, etc. Somebody tried to tell it in a lighter vein. Noah asked God, what should I make this ark with? And God said, go for wood. Go for wood. Yes, definitely it was wood. Go for wood. Going for wood. But G-O-P-H-E-R, go for wood, that was used. And he heard everything to the extent of being able to say he had a reverential fear towards God. The moment he heard the warning of God, reverential awe or reverential fear towards God is another way not only to be able to know that God is a God who is a God of judgment, but God, now I understand that you're a God who's a God who's a holy God. You are so holy that a sinful man cannot approach you. But I thank you that you are a God who is giving an opportunity to be able to be escaping from the flood through an ark. So what did he do? He had a reverence towards God. In other words, he worshiped God. He had an awe towards God, saying, God, you are an awesome God. And I stand in awe of you, God. You're a God. I'm here to worship you. Reverential fear enables each one of us to worship him. We spend enough time to start with by singing songs, being exhorted from the word of God to individually give you an opportunity to worship the Lord should enable each one of us to have a worshipful attitude. Reverential fear. Lord, I know that you're a God who judges, but I thank you that you are making a way in order to be able to prevent ourselves from the judgment by creating an ark. That is what it is that here we see in reverence, in godly fear, as he was worshiping God, saying, you are a holy God. I'll have a holy fear towards you. As we fear him and say, Lord, I want to be able to experience your presence in my life, the holiness of God in my life, that you cannot bear evil, that should really bring us closer to God and say, I worship you, Lord. Noah walked with God. Noah was warned by God. Noah worshipped God. And as we see here in Hebrews chapter 7 and chapter 11, I don't know why it keeps coming, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. In reverence or in godly fear, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. Prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. What do we see here? That we have the story of the way in which Noah prepared the ark. God gave him clear instructions as to how Noah has to prepare the entire dimensions of it. If you have been to Kentucky, you might see the ark encounter there also with the exact dimensions that were built there. To be able to get a picture as to how big that ark was. Somebody mentioned the amateurs built the Noah's Ark, but the professionals built the Titanic. And this Noah's Ark, which was guided by God, it floated on water and it saved the ones who were inside the ark. But the professionals who built the Titanic, it sunk. What kind of a faith do we have? Is it a sinking faith? Or is it an unsinkable faith? Noah did not rely on the skill set of him or the people around him or his family, but he relied on the skill set of God. He was available and God gave him ability. God looks at our availability, not just ability. When you are available for him, God makes you able. Available, able. And that is what has happened. God gave him clear instructions. And then, to the extent, he says that Noah has to prepare the ark, make the ark. In verse 14, make for yourself, Genesis 6:14, make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. Some of the English translations says, you shall pitch it inside and out with pitch. What is this pitch? Gopher. Gopher wood. The Hebrew word that is used for pitch is gopher. And the same word gopher is used across the Bible in the Hebrew version, the gopher, which talks about covering, or in other words, atonement. The atonement, the word that was used in this particular verse, shall cover it inside and out with pitch. The covering was there inside and out, protection. The covering was there. The ark that was built is an ark of covering, the protection, atonement. And we all know the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ has enabled us to be safe in him. This ark that is talked about is a symbolism of Jesus Christ who came down into this world to cover us from our sins. And the atoning sacrifice, this particular word, kofor, cover it inside and out, so much of protection. You are inside the ark, you are protected, you are covered. You are outside the ark, you'll be destroyed. That is what talks about the judgment of God. While there is judgment of God, there is mercy and grace of God where the ark was being built. And then we see in verse 22, Noah did according to that God had commanded him. So he did. I love the way in which it is repeated twice. Noah did all that God has commanded. Obedience. It's very important, my dear. Obedience is what comes out of all of this. His faith resulted in fear. Not a lot of times. We say, yes, the fear of man has to go away. Fear of circumstances have to go away. When faith is there, fear goes away. Yes. But when faith is there, it should beget the fear of God. If you have faith in God, it should result in having fear of God. If you say, I have faith in God, and you don't have a fear of God at all, you need to question your faith. Are you born again? Have you really believed in the God who is a God who is not only a loving God, but he is a God who is a consuming fire as well? That is a question that you and I need to have. Noah, when he had faith, he walked with God by faith, not by sight. He was warned by God. He was moved with godly fear. Moved with godly fear. Not just stayed with godly fear. Not just thinking and wondering, God, you are a fearful God. I won't do anything. No. When God commanded him to do, with godly fear, he was moved with godly fear that he went ahead and, note it down, he worked on the ark. He worked on the ark. He not only worshipped God, but when God gave him commandments, he worked. He worked, my dear. He worked not in order to gain faith, not in order to have salvation, but he walked with God by faith, he worshipped God, and he obeyed God's commandment. He worked on the ark. He worked. He prepared, in other words, and say some of the translations, he prepared the ark. And as he did everything as the Lord has commanded. It's very interesting. In the same chapter, in verse 20, as he obeyed God, while he was worshiping God, he was working on the hammer, the woods, the nails. He was working and saying, Lord, you are a God who is worthy to be worshipped. I want to worship you as I work for you. That is how it should be. Some of us do a lot of work physically, but we never work out our salvation. Work out in terms of being able to know, Lord, how can I be able to better understand what your purposes in my life is? What do you want me to do? To the extent of obeying God's word. In verse 20, of the birds after the kind of the animals, after the kind of every creeping thing of the earth, two of every kind will come to you. They will come to you. You see, God brings. When I was reading it, I was really touched by the way in which God is saying, you do the work, I will bring. You do the work, I will bring. They will come to you. You don't need to go search, which one should I choose? They will come to you. It's God's way of bringing the ones that need to get into the ark. God brings them into the ark. Noah was obedient in building the ark. God was faithful in bringing the inhabitants of the ark. What a wonderful way in which we can see here. And also in verse chapter 7 and verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, if you have a New King James Version, it says, come into the ark. Bow. B-O-W in Hebrew, bow. It means come. Sometimes English translations use the word enter, etc. More than saying go, it is more of come. Come into the ark. That means God is inviting Noah and his household and every inhabitant to enter into the ark. Come into the ark. Something to be able to understand. God is inviting. It's not that God is somewhere else and he says, you go. You go inside the ark. I'll be outside. No. You come into the ark. Come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Get into the ark. Get into the ark. Come into the ark. And then he obeyed. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Not only did Noah walk with God, he was warned by God. He worshipped God. He worked on the ark. And then we see in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. I'll read the verse altogether. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverential fear, prepared an ark for the salvation of the household, by which he condemned the world. He condemned the world. While he was having his relationship with God, while he was worshiping God, he worked upon salvation. And he focused on his household, ark for the salvation of his household. He did not neglect his household, my dear. He focused on the salvation of his household. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. What a joy it is to have every person in your household being saved. Salvation of your household. He focused on it. He worked upon it. He made sure that the warnings of God was shared with his own wife, his three sons, and his three daughters-in-law. He might have said, oh, big deal, he got married. All my three sons got married. No, he focused upon the fact that they should, Lord, enable them to enter into the ark. They may be getting affected by the things of this world, by the evil of the world. People might say, big deal, it never flooded ever before. Will it do it? Will it happen? But the family of Noah were influenced by the life of Noah. And they entered into the ark along with Noah. Is your family in line with the word of God? Or is your family going away? Are you allowing the family to focus on the things of the world? Oh, the world is great. Go learn all of that. Or are you spending time in telling that the God is a God who is not only a God of love, but he's also a God of dread. He's a God of terror. Come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The day will come when the judgment of God happens. And I do not want you to be left behind. Enter into the ark. While he was witnessing to his own family, he was witnessing to the world. He condemned the world, saying God hates evil. God is saying that he's going to judge all of you. He condemned the world. He witnessed to the world. Note it down. He witnessed to the world, which included his own family members. He was a witness to the Lord, my dear brothers and sisters. I'm asking you. If you are a woman or a man who has faith in this God who came down as Lord Jesus Christ to save your sins, save you and I from our sins, these are the things you need to question yourself if you have the fear of God in you. As I am examining myself, am I walking with God? Or am I just saying, oh, for the sake of satisfaction, I'm just saved? No. Daily, you should walk with God. Spend time with God. Pray unto him. Listen to him. Get to know his will. Get to know his thoughts. The more you spend in God's word, you will be able to know his will. You won't be confused. Have you really meditated on God's word? When was the last time you did? Men, when was the last time you led your family in family prayer? Focusing on children as well. Focusing on the salvation of them. Your wife, yourself. Does your wife need to remind you to have family prayers? Are you focusing on your family? Noah focused on his family. And also, he was a witness to the world. He was building an ark. It was not done at home, somewhere in the closet. Everyone was watching. Everyone was watching. Are you ashamed of Christ? Can you stand for Christ in spite of persecutions? Ridicule? People coming and talking, what is this? What the heck are you doing? You're a weirdo. They may be saying about Noah, he's building a big ark for nothing. The sea is somewhere else, 100 miles away, and you are building an ark here. Where's the rudder? How are you going to navigate to the sea? Lot of logical questions might have been asked, but God was the anchor of their soul. God was a hope. God enabled them to be able to, by faith, enter into the ark. And let me tell you, there was a flood that really happened, that never happened before, and that destroyed every mankind that were not in the ark. But those who were in the ark were saved. And the new set of mankind started from the family of Noah. God restarted a new life. If you see the story from Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and all that that is mentioned, it was repeated again to Noah. Because Noah's restarted a new generation of people. God will judge one day. This time not by water but by fire. He gave a covenant that I will not destroy them with water. But that doesn't mean that he will not destroy at all. God is a God of judgment, my dear. As we express ourselves in terms of the judgment of God, we should also know the mercy of God because of the ark that was built. I want us to read a couple of verses, maybe three references from the Bible. If you want to note down the reference, you can do. But I'm going to project those verses. Please join with me in reading these verses. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Let's all read this together, please. Because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This particular story of the Noah's story, the days of Noah, reminds us that God is a God who wants to give us a newness of life. A newness of life that was God was enabling us to have. And these eight people were brought safely through water. They were in the water. The boat was in the water, but they themselves were in the ark. They were protected from the water. This ark is a symbolism of a coffin, in other words. You know what a coffin is? Nobody wants to think about it. It was like Noah and family entered into the ark. They were buried. And after the flood subsided, they came out with a newness of life. You see that? They came out. I'm dead to sin. I want to be buried inside the ark. And I will come out with a newness of life. You see that? What is that? That is a representation of baptism. The water baptism that we give is a representation of what the Noah story is talked about. And that is what Peter mentions in verse 21. Baptism which corresponds to this now saves you not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. A new life comes out of water. That is what it is. One more verse, Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Let's all read this together. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Now you see that? Noah and family came out of the ark. He built an altar and they had a newness of life. That is what the expression of baptism is, my dear. When we give baptism, it is an experience that you had that I am dead to sin because of what Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. I am buried with Lord Jesus Christ just like I went into the water, and I come out of the water with a newness of life that I am trying to express it out, the experience that I already had in my heart. That I'm showing it through water baptism. The way in which I'm showing here, usually we have a baptism tank here. And that is why my hands are pointing towards that place. Oh my dear, what a wonderful experience that is. If we are in the ark, we are protected, we are covered. You may be tossed here and there. You may wondering what happens. But remember, you are protected. It doesn't mean that it is a smooth sail. It may be a bumpy sail. Better be in the ark and have that bumpy sail than outside the ark, because you're protected inside the ark. What a wonderful experience that is. One last verse and we'll close. Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 to 39. All together, please, talking about the coming days. Matthew chapter 24, 36 to 39, all together. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know, until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. This is a reminder that Jesus Christ is coming back. Everybody thinks, oh, I don't believe that. It never happened before. What is this Jesus coming down? As a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Same thing is happening. People are not able to believe. But are you walking with God? Are you warned by God of these things? Are you worshiping God on a regular basis? Are you working for God? And are you witnessing for God, my dear? This would enable us to be better prepared for the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ. Focus on your family, witness to the world, be an example for others, so that we may be like Noah, moved with godly fear. May the Lord bless this word.